Today's suggested gospel reading is actually one passage containing two healing stories. Listen for the Word of God in these words of Scripture presented in the New Revised Standard Version. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a great crowd gathered around him. He was there by the sea. And then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather she grew worse. Now, she had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but just touch his clothes, I will be made well." Well, immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see this crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Well, he looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases." Now, while he was still speaking, some people came from the synagogue leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. And then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, Peter, James, John, and went where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. Well, she was 12 years old. At this they were overcome with amazement. Now, he strictly ordered that no one should know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Well, the rap on preachers is that every sermon has to have three points. Now, that's not true, of course, but it is today. And since it's easier to follow the points if they feature alliteration, here you go, the three points: a curiosity, a consequence, and a context. The first point, a curiosity. Whenever I teach or preach on this particular passage of Scripture, I like to point out an unusual feature that many Bible readers tend to gloss over, and it all has to do with languages. First, let's remember that the Bible wasn't written in English. When we read the New Testament, we're reading English translations of texts that were originally written in Greek. That's because in Jesus' day, Greek was like the international language of the Mediterranean world. Now, in ancient Palestine, the everyday language of the people was a language called Aramaic. Jesus probably spoke Aramaic most of the time unless he was reciting the Hebrew scriptures. Well, in the story of Jesus raising up the little girl from death, Mark, the gospel writer, included two Aramaic words that Jesus said, Talitha kum. Now remember, Mark was writing the story in Greek, but here he stopped and inserted into the Greek two Aramaic words. Now, since Mark knew that many of the Greek-speaking readers of the gospel outside of Palestine wouldn't know Aramaic, Mark then resumed in Greek to explain those foreign words. And so it says, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, get up. And his Greek readers would say, ah, so that's what that means. But now let me ask you, why didn't Mark simply write, Jesus said, little girl, get up? Why would Mark go to the trouble of inserting two Aramaic words in his Greek narrative and then have to explain them to his Greek-speaking readers? Well, to answer that, remember this. In our Bible, every word that Jesus spoke is an English translation of a Greek translation of something that he said in Aramaic. But here, in our English Bibles, we have two Aramaic words placed on the lips of Jesus. Why? Here's what I think. I think it's because someone in the room, the little girl's parents perhaps, or one of the three disciples, someone remembered that that's exactly what Jesus said to the little girl. So in this passage, I believe we are hearing, in the original language, words that Jesus spoke. Jesus said, Talitha kum. That's the curiosity of my first point. In this passage, we hear actual words that Jesus spoke. The second point, a consequence. Because of their faith in God the Heavenly Father, the synagogue leader and the hemorrhaging woman both sought healing. And these two stories are remembered because healing was what they received. Not only did a physical remedy result, but their spirits, anxious, afraid, mournful, their spirits were also healed. Jesus pronounced on them the blessing, do not fear, only believe. Belief replaced the fear of the woman who had endured 12 years of suffering. Trust upheld that frantic father worried for the life of his precious daughter. They didn't believe in Jesus as a magician. They believed Jesus was the conduit of the power of God. This passage of conjoined stories reminds us that we can trust our lives to God's hands, as we hear in the lyrics of a hymn that says, give to the winds your fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears your sighs and counts your tears. God shall lift up your head. And that's the second point. The consequence of putting your trust in God is that God hears your sighs, God counts your tears, God soothes, God heals, God restores. And then the third point, the context. The context of these two healing stories is, in a word, interruption. This is a story of the work of Jesus being interrupted. The woman's healing happened as an interruption to what Jesus was doing, namely setting out for the home of the synagogue leader Jairus to attend to his little girl. And her interruption added costly minutes to Christ's visit to Jairus' daughter. Indeed, the little girl died before Jesus could get there. But let's step back for a minute. Jesus and the disciples had just come ashore, having sailed from the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They didn't know about Jairus' daughter before they crossed the lake. They must have had other plans upon arrival. Maybe they were planning on teaching the crowd that met them when they came ashore. Maybe they were going to look for some dinner or find a place to spend the night. Whatever it was that they had planned to do was interrupted. It was interrupted by the appeal of that synagogue leader for Jesus to heal his daughter. Jesus listened to his plea and gave up whatever he had planned to do in order to attend to Jairus and his daughter. And it was during that interruption in his plans that Jesus was interrupted by the woman who sought his healing power by simply touching his clothes. He sensed power flowing from him. He simply couldn't walk away. He had to find out who had sought him, what her situation was, what she needed. Jesus engaged with her, met her, listened to her, commended her, blessed her. And once they were done, Jesus resumed his trip, comforting and encouraging Jairus and his wife and healing their daughter, restoring her from that lifeless form, raising her from death to life, and then instructing the parents to give their daughter something to eat. We hear these stories as describing the work of Jesus being interrupted by a request for healing, which in turn was interrupted by a request for healing. But for Jesus, were they really interruptions? I don't think so. Jesus gave his attention to the appeal for healing, to the appeal for mercy. That father, that woman, they were the focus of his work. Catholic priest, professor, and author Henry Nouwen once remarked, "You know, my whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted, until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." A lesson he learned from Jesus, don't you think? As we heard, Jesus didn't give Jairus the brush off. Jesus listened to his plight, to his pain. Jesus gave his full attention to him and responded with compassion out of love. And when Jesus felt that power flowing from him as he moved through that jostling crowd, he didn't ignore it. He stopped. He sought out the woman who had sought him out so that he could connect with her. When you seek Jesus, he'll connect with you. You're not interrupting him from something more important. You are important to Jesus. Revealing and sharing the love of God, that's what Jesus does. He's not in a hurry. He gives us his time. He gives us his full attention. Nothing is as important to Jesus at that moment that he is, except that he was connecting with us. He wants to hear our whole story, whether that moment involves us or a loved one, being healed physically or not. It's not promised. But what Jesus does is to bring healing to our souls, to our very being, restoring us to him, calling us daughter, calling us son. Whatever our story, whatever our journey through life has been to this point, let's reach out and touch Jesus in faith. And let him minister to us, bring healing to us, restore us, and welcome us into his family.